Welcome aboard, you people. It is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm.
Another day of broadcast insolence. But let me just start by saying this, I'm very, very proud. WGN is very, very proud to be partners with the Chicago Blackhawks, one of the great storied sports institutions in the world. Mm-hmm. Not just America. You go around the world and people are, you know, where there is hockey, they know about the Blackhawks.
No question.
And they know the Blackhawks logo, and they know the great history of that franchise. And Stan Mikita, who it's just announced passed away,
mm-hmm.
after a very long and tough battle with a very serious neurological condition. And like everything else in his life, I mean, he fought that bravely. You would see him over the last half decade coming out to be part of this institution during this most amazing run in the franchise's history,
mm-hmm.
and being there in the box with Bobby Hull and some of the other greats, and you would see him struggling to be there, and it's just part of the strength and the power that he had as an individual, as a guy. I mean, we got to meet his grandson.
Yeah, that's right.
At the end of last season.
What a thrill that was.
In our last game last season, and he was on the show with us.
Mm-hmm.
A great young hockey player himself.
Yeah. He looks just like him.
Impressive guy, yes.
Right. And he's
reminded you of him.
Right. And what is he? I mean, he's, you know, he's a kid. He's a kid.
They got to go skate on the ice, put the uniform on.
Exactly.
It's a very cool moment.
No one has played more games for the Blackhawks or scored more points than Stan Mikita. And I know the Wirtz family has got a statement out talking about how prayers are going out to Jill and the Mikita family. He's deeply missed. He'll forever be etched in the hearts of fans, past, present, and future.
Right.
Incredible.
Before there were Kane and Taves, there was Hull and Mikita. And Hull and Mikita were as great in an era in which hockey played in a different way, was played in a different way in the United States than it is today. Today we play a much more international game, much as they say, European kind of game. It's about speed. Back then, it was the Friday night fights almost every day. The best
different
fights
hockey
at mm-hmm. the United Center were actually in the stands, but there were some definitely out on the ice. And these guys, you know, they played a two way game. They played without helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they played without the pads that they wore were heavy, wet, and didn't protect them the way that that they did.
Remember, we had that chance to tour the Blackhawks or the Hockey Museum at the Blackhawks that festival event they had out there at the United Center.
The draft,
and they showed the pads and what they played with back in Stan Mikita's day, and my mouth was dropped open because I just thought, my gosh, there was like no protection for these guys. Very different type of hockey, and you know, he exemplified the sport at that time, and certainly the Blackhawks.
You know, and you like today, like Taze and Kane. You know, when the kids go and they play, mm-hmm. either they're playing floor hockey or they're playing hockey in their little juniors league, or they're playing, you know, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
However you're playing the game, you know, people go, I'll be Kane, I'll be Taves, right? I mean, that's, you know, you grow up here,
true.
That's how it is. And I think
it is.
In other places around the world, and in my generation, it was, you be Hull, I'll be Mikita.
You
know, because, you know, Bobby Hull was this, you know, blonde, flowing hair, you know, the golden jet.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan Mikita was one of those, you know, in the way that so many people have, you know, moved to Chicago and been adopted by them as a native son, Mikita was, you know, became one of those guys.
Absolutely.
And he was a, you know, Chicago tough guy, the great, you know, sort of ethnic name, you know, that plays so well here in Chicago.
Yes.
With a vowel on the end of it. Not sure where it's from or what it means.
No,
you just
but
know.
It fit him well.
Right.
Fit him well.
I think he's of Czech heritage, if I'm not mistaken. Or, well, we'll
figure that out. Yeah.
Someone will check that out for me.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, but he's. But he is a just one of those amazing sports figures,
yeah.
And he standing there. My image of him now, not only of just being a great player and, you know, being in that, you know, and with a Hawk forever, you know, because Bobby Hull moved on
mm-hmm.
to another team later in his career. Still, while he was a very excellent player, then you know, Makita was always with the Blackhawks,
yeah,
which was a great kind of a moment. He was that rock solid guy.
Slovakian born, Canadian.
Right. Born in, right. Right. Canadian and, by, I mean, moved here from Canada.
Mm-hmm. And just eye-opening stats on the ice. What a player. Led the, leads the franchise in points, 1,467 points, games played by a long shot, 541 career goals.
And you know they talk about minutes now. Mm-hmm. In the NHL. They talk about, I mean, in the NBA, too, right? They talk about how many minutes you get, and are you going to play 20 minutes? Are you going to play 30 minutes? What are you going to play, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to play, these guys were playing 38 minutes or 40 minutes. You're like, oh, my God, how are they, you know, how those guys are rocks. I don't know. Maybe it was just me, but as a kid, I never saw him leave the ice. I don't, I'm sure he did.
Right.
I'm sure it just is in my mind's eye. I'm wrong about this, but, you know, he was a 30-plus player. You know, he was in the game the whole time. And it was, and then, like I said, it was a different game. It was a game that was played on the boards. There was a lot of physicality to it. You had to be strong. You had to be tough. You do now. I think they're the best athletes in all of professional. You know, it's tough to rank athletes by their sport, but the, you know, I think hockey players pound for pound, strong, tough. And the pain management and endurance is such an important part. That's why they don't want to talk about what part of the body it is, because they know the other players are going to focus in on it. And Stan Mikita was all of that. And what a great soul Stan Mikita was.
An ambassador for the team, for the sport in general.
Yeah.
No question. 78 years old, too. I know, as you mentioned, Ro, he'd been dealing with some health issues for quite some time. But really... sad. So many memories that he's created for Blackhawks fans over the years.
All right.
So many.
Stan Mikita, dead at the age of 78, a great Chicago sports icon. There's we talk about the Jordan statue.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few feet from the Jordan statue is the Mikita statue.
Yeah, think about that.
At the United Center. So, you know, we talk about great legends that made
1-2-2-2-2.
Put this. Hold
there,
on one second here. Don't.
About?
Don't anybody move?
Mm-hmm.
there goes my glowing tribute. but you know, you have those statues there, and these are the people that made Chicago, put Chicago sports on the map and made it relevant for generations and generations of hockey fans who have really enjoyed this last decade run with the Blackhawks. So many of them, you know, my age and older, you know, it all started with our love of that team from the 60s and 70s. That Stan Mikita was a part of.
Texter reminding us, and I just looked it up, he invented the curved blade hockey sticks.
That's right.
So he was the one behind that, changing the sport.
You look at that stretch in the 60s, four straight years a Blackhawk was named the Hart Memorial Trophy winner, which is the NHL's version of MVP, Bobby Hall in 64, and then the following year in 65, then Stan Mikita won it the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
Two years in a row.
Yep. 2 years in a row. Yep. And I think because of the curved stick, which you don't, I mean, and his curved stick was, I remember as a kid, we were, you had to try to do that. You had to, you know, you got a stick and then you were, you know, you're trying to melt the thing. You're trying to create it yourself. Mm-hmm. That's what Stan did. He created it himself. You weren't buying the curved stick. Mm-hmm. You were making the curved stick. And it involved all kinds of things. And some of the things your parents didn't want you to play with. That is my recollection.
That's what happened.
Because there involved chemicals and heat and other kinds of things. There are little brothers of big brothers who wanted to make a Mikita stick who to this day still bear the scars of being around in the bedroom when the kid was trying to do it. But here is Stan Mikita talking about that.
What is the great advantage to the curved hockey stick?
When you're stick handling or shooting, you can bring the puck towards you a little better than you would with a straight stick.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, simple.
What an impact he had on the sport. I know, yes. Right. Simple. Absolutely.
Simple but true. I mean, just a better control. Just amazing control.
Yeah. It said it was almost by accident that he was working on it with Bobby Hull at the time, and they sort of they figured it out, and it worked, and there it was. They had created something that changed the sport.
And the puck came off it a little differently. Now everybody's got a certain there's a certain I wouldn't say curve to the stick, but there's the stick is different than, I mean, it was like just a flat piece of wood.
Right? How does that work?
I mean, as a kid, if you're trying to, like, you know, learn the sport, you couldn't do it.
You couldn't elevate anything.
No,
the puck
right.
never got above like 6 inches off the ground
how
if you're playing
you
with
that?
A flat stick.
And how many kids, you know, from, I think still to this day, you go out and you get floor hockey, floor hockey sticks,
uh-huh.
and you play with those. Until because you can always bend those and do what it was, and now the at least we did in our generation, and then if we had to play in a real game, then you had to have the real stick,
yeah,
because it was flat, and then if you did try to do it, you broke it, you bent it, your dad got mad at you. I'm not doing this.
No.
I worked all day. I'm not gonna curve your stick
well,
for you.
According to Time Magazine, Makita accidentally split his blade into a V shape at practice, and then he and Bobby Hull were warping the wooden blades of their sticks into curves, they're
yeah.
saying, by soaking them in hot water,
yes.
then wedging them under door jams
yes.
overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And that was.
And there was an iron involved.
There was an iron involved.
There was
as
an
well.
Iron involved.
Oh my gosh, this sounds
Did I do
almost
this?
As dangerous as hockey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh God, it was quite a thing. Then there was glue. You tried to use glue, and then you tried to use it industrialized. There's all kinds of things people tried to do to their hockey stick. Anyway, Stan Mikita, a great mm-hmm. Chicago legend, and he will be missed by hockey fans. And you can bet that the opening night of this hockey season at the United Center is going to be a very emotional moment for Chicago Blackhawks fans and for the Makita family and all that, because I'm certain without knowing anything specific, I'm certain that that's going to be a big part of this. All right, we've got Ben Bradley standing by in the CLTV WGN-TV newsroom, but first, Judy was coming up in the radio at the bottom of the hour news.
President Trump rallying voters via Twitter.
Violetta?
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater, and Joe Donlin weeknights, yes, on WGN-TV News at 9.
He's my boy. He's our boy.
He just doesn't know it yet.
Yep. Although Violetta sent me a video of her chatting him up on the street yesterday just to drive
just
us
to
nuts.
Rub it in a little bit, yeah. I thought. That was a little bit of a...
Trying to steal our guy, Violetta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mentioned you guys first chance I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 8 hours later.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Donlin, do you have any jobs over there at Channel 9? I thought I did particularly well on the morning show. All right, Ben Bradley is over at the Channel 9. He's got a job at the Channel 9.
Yeah, we actually have a news director opening, Violetta, if you'd like to apply.
That is right up my alley.
Yes.
Yes,
you manage her, imagine her managing 500 people?
Oh, boy.
Yes.
I can't imagine her managing lunch, I can't, let alone 500 people.
She does a great job at managing lunch.
Yeah.
I think the food and the party she's
that's
excellent
true.
At.
It's a well-oiled machine. It runs itself. You just need someone to crack the whip once in a while, set up meetings.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all.
Buy low, sell high.
Right. Set up some meetings. We have a meeting here. What are we having a meeting about?
Get to work, everybody.
We're going to have a meeting about a meeting.
You got
to
handle the Johnson account.
I got it.
And, we're just a couple of blocks away from your parents' restaurant here, so you could actually still continue your side job there, bussing tables.
I could.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She's not liking the way this is going. All right, Ben, let's talk about this for a second. Jen Lyons announced that she is leaving Channel 9 after a quarter century there, right?
Yeah, she's incredible.
Yeah.
She has been an incredible boss, and there's not too many places where when they announce the boss is leaving, people actually start crying.
Oh.
That's just a sign of how well regarded she is.
Yes.
But she has a great opportunity with Catholic Extension. It's something she believes very strongly in, and we're very excited for her.
Yeah,
even though we're sad for us.
Yeah. You know, we talk about people being people.
People. Yes.
And she is people.
Yep.
That's one of the things that you don't get a lot of. I think in most workplaces, people who are good managers of other human beings that mm-hmm. that actually study a human being and decide what they're good at and where their talents are best going to fit the enterprise.
Yeah.
And she's really great at that.
Yeah. Yeah. She leads this place with her head and her heart. And, she used the phrase when we were talking about me coming over here. She kind of casually referenced it as the secret sauce that makes WGN what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a huge part of that sauce. She's a big ingredient. I mean, you imagine what that's like to be the boss of a newsroom that runs the morning show. You know, you have to have that perfect personality say, hey, we're going to let you do your thing.
And
I'm going to trust your people, and we're going to set the stage. Yeah.
Right, until Violetta.
Until.
Yeah, and then they're like, wait a second.
Things get too out of hand. Then we're going to step in.
But I think we broke this thing.
I can't imagine what her inbox looks like every morning.
She's got all the awards in the world, News Director of the Year, Broadcasting Cable, Most Powerful Woman in Chicago Journalism, all those kinds of things. But on top of that, I mean, you think about just what she's achieved in terms of being aware of the digital age before many others were, and really making WGN-TV thrive in that area before ahead of so many others, but also expanding to how many hours of live local programming now?
I think we're up to 70 hours a week.
Think about
that. Can you believe that? And that's not even factoring in CLTV, which is around the clock.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Don't I know
it? I get a headache thinking about it.
I'm worried. You know, we own 1/24th of that. And, I'm exhausted every day.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what we're going to do with that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is amazing. She's very, very special. We wish her the best. And, you know, as you said, she's mixing her passion and her faith and her skill set together for this next chapter in her life. And I think that the Catholic community is going to be very, very well served by that.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
And those that they serve and those that enterprise does. So that's going to be really something.
Yes, it will.
All right. Let's talk about what's coming up then on the WGN-TV News.
Obviously, like you, we're hearing the news about Stan Mikita. We've prepared a couple of pieces to look back at his life and legacy. We'll have that for you beginning at 4 o'clock today. Also out in Northwest Indiana, a terrible story. Two young kids, a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, somehow got onto the tracks in Portage, Indiana. They were hit by a freight train. One of those children died. The other is hospitalized. Our Marcella Raymond is covering that story. Also kind of an interesting story out of that Lakeshore Drive protest from last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The two of the organizers are splitting. They are saying, no, we are going in opposite directions. T.O. Hardiman, who used to be with Cease Fire, is saying that he disagrees with Reverend Greg Livingston's plan to perhaps bring that protest to O'Hare Airport and try to shut down the Kennedy over the busy Labor Day holiday weekend.
Okay.
But T.O. Hardiman taking it a step further, issuing a press release saying, the pastor used me. He's saying he's trying to use this as a stepping stone for his own career.
Yeah.
Oh,
I've never seen that happen before in situations like this.
I think you kind of called that out, Ro, a little bit. I don't know if I recall that right before this whole... Didn't you say there were some political things going on there, ambitions?
I think that people want to, you know, get to the next level, often sometimes in corporate world. He's got one, I think, very strong idea, which is to try to go appeal to... I don't think you can bully Facebook and Google into this, but... go appeal to Facebook and Google and to Amazon or whoever, whatever other tech enterprises are coming in here, and get them to invest in the real estate of the old schools that have been shut down and build these incubators and centers for teaching people in those communities these skills, these 21st century skills, and maybe creating generational in the same sort of ways that industries, factories, you know, throughout the Industrial Revolution created, you know, entire neighborhoods devoted to whether it was U.S. Steel, right? Or Pullman, or whatever it happened to be, created industries around them.
Right.
That's an opportunity here. And there's an old school, new school way of looking at it. I think that's a genius idea. I would support him in doing that. If he wants to go shut down 190 on the way into the airport and stare at that United billboard that keeps changing every hour on the hour, if you want to do that, he's got another thing coming. Because that's where the federal government will stop him. They will stop him there. Because that is a major threat in terms of, you know, they won't look at it any other way. Shutting down Lakeshore Drive, you know, for an hour, it sucks, but it's...
Well, Chicago police allowed those protesters to do that. If you do it over on the highways approaching O'Hare, that's back in state police jurisdiction, and Governor Rauner has shown he doesn't have much of appetite for that.
Well, you also saw the former police superintendent, Gary McCarthy, running for mayor, say that the police department, in enabling this protest, they facilitated criminal behavior, and he wouldn't have allowed it.
Well, that's always the problem. They don't want the pictures of arresting anti-violence protesters, but at the same time, where do you draw the line?
It's like this, though. You know, it's sort of like we've seen this with protests, especially on Michigan Avenue and other places like that. Okay, and the general stance of the police officer is standing there with their thumbs in their vests, you know,
yeah,
they're watching.
That is the pose,
right?
The pose, right?
Yeah. And then with their sunglasses on in the middle of the night. And
it'd be great to do a caption contest with those pictures.
So the other guys are out there screaming in their face, and they're just kind of, you know, taking it and stuff. They're trained in that.
Yeah.
But what is amazing is it's sort of like, you know, they're like, okay, all right, keep yelling at me. All right, time to go now. Now it's time to go. And when it's it becomes time to go, on 190, it will become time to go. And some of these people will be charged federally for this. So I think that's where Teo Hardeman, who's been around this block a number of times,
he has,
you know, got a little bit of church, if you will, on that particular issue. So I think Livingston's got some good ideas, and I don't know what his end game is. We just met him last week, but if he wants help trying to get those tech companies to look at Chicago school properties that have been closed to try to retrofit those to create incubators, I'm with him. Seven times a week, twice on Sunday, eight times a week then. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, and you know, we get behind something like that, but it's you made your point, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Give Jen our best. That's
Will
really
do.
Been something.
Will do.
It's been great working with her. All right. Let us now check in with Judy in 2 minutes. She's got the WGN News. Stay tuned after 5:30. Chance to win a pair of tickets to Blackhawks preseason home game. So again, season tickets are on sale now. Buy your tickets at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. That's Blackhawks.com. It's a very Canadian half hour here because we got Rush,
mm-hmm.
playing some Rush. Little Geddy Lee.
Nice. Can't go wrong.
Yep. And I got Blackhawks tickets. And right now, I would say that I'm not quite sure I understand what happened here.
With what?
In terms of why, there's a lot going on in the world, mm-hmm. right? You got this new set of Iranian sanctions have kicked in. There's always, you know, a bunch of questions about Russia. Did you see the story? I saw this today. Guys are wearing T-shirts to the Trump rallies that said, rather be a Russian than a Democrat.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Do you think that's Maria Butina's T-shirt shop that's doing that? Don't you feel like the Russians are totally behind this?
Most likely.
Now that we understand their game a little bit here, and they're getting people all kind of hot and bothered.
Mm-hmm. Polarized.
Yeah. I think they're behind showing up at people's dinners. I think they're encouraging that, too. They just want to encourage the most extreme behaviors. And we have to, as Americans, take a step back and take a look at that and say, you know what? Is this really who we are as a people? And behave accordingly. But now, and this is the part that it's kind of alarming, and it's a story that I don't think we should just let slip past us.
No.
Which is that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is trying to shut down diplomatic relations with Canada. Now, as you recall, we're supposed to be, you know, in a hot and bothered bromance with Saudi Arabia, more so than we have been basically for the last 20 years. And we're mad at Canada. So what's the United States play in this? And is it really in the United States? Is it in the people of the United States' best interest to have Canada I'm on Canada's side in this. I just want to point that out.
You would hope the U.S. is as well.
You would think so. Bruce Hayman used to be the ambassador from the United States to Canada, and he's a Chicagoan. And ambassador, thank you for being with us. What's behind this?
So let me try to describe it for everybody. By the way, hey, guys, great to be back on the show. But this is really, it's happened really quickly, and it's quite unfortunate. So what's happening, so everybody gets a bit of a take here, the Saudis have loosened up a little bit their restrictions on women. They actually gave them the right to drive for the first time. But they have what are called guardianship rules. So the women actually aren't allowed to drive without the permission of the men. And the women aren't actually allowed to do a lot of things without men's permission. So there were some protesters, some women protesters, in Saudi Arabia that were protesting to get rid of these guardianship rules on women by men, and they were arrested. And the Canadian foreign minister and her office put out a tweet that basically said they weren't making a demand, but they urged the Saudis to release the women and basically respect the rights of human rights and women's rights in Saudi Arabia. Well, the Saudis didn't like that too much. In fact, they didn't like it a lot. And so immediately they did what they called PNG, persona non grata. They sent the Canadian ambassador home. They expelled him. They recalled their own ambassador. They shut down all trading with Canada. They shut down their airplane flights to Canada. And they went ahead and told the thousands of Saudi students who are studying in Canadian universities, they told them basically, you got to pack up. You're not going to be able to study in Canada. So the Saudis dramatically reacted to this tweet, but it's more than a tweet. It's a message. It was a message not only to Canada, but it was a message to everyone else in the world, Western Europe. Don't mess with the way we treat women and what we do, or you'll pay a price for it. And so that's what's happened. And it all happened in the last, 36 hours.
And it all started from a tweet, which is fascinating to think that they'd immediately take this type of severe action. And it does seem to be a broader signal to Western governments. Don't criticize what we do and the way we conduct ourselves, particularly in regard with domestic policies.
Yeah. But the Saudis have demonstrated this before, but not to this degree. They recently called in the German ambassador and dressed him down with comments that were coming out of Germany with regard to behaviors that were taking place in Saudi Arabia. But in reality, this is over the top. I think in part the Saudis have been able to get away with this because the U.S. is this budding larger relationship with Saudi Arabia. But more important, this is pulled away from supporting the less fortunate around the world, the people who the U.S. has historically really supported. But this administration is focused in other areas, but not for the less fortunate, the women, the minorities, the people of different sexual orientation, the people who want to have and need to have a voice that are minorities in countries around the world. That's where the U.S. always had stood up for at least some fair treatment of humanity. And the U.S. has pulled back from this and is not getting in the middle of the Saudi-Canada fight. They basically, the State Department said today, hey, yeah, they're going to have to work it out. It's almost like you have two best friends that are going at each other, and you're both really good friends, but you just stand by and watch them swinging
well,
at each other.
Well, that is the State Department.
Unfortunate.
Bruce, you're right. The State Department just this afternoon released its first comments about this, saying that the U.S. will not take sides. We're aware of this. We know what's going on. Canada and Saudi Arabia are both close allies of the United States. I refer you to their foreign affairs for further information. Are they both close allies of the United States? Saudi Arabia?
Well, there's nobody closer than Canada. First of all, they're our next door neighbor. We share this 5,000 plus mile border. We trade more with Canada than almost anybody in the world, and it's a balanced trade. Canadians create jobs for Americans all across the border. They're our largest visitor on tourism. They are so important to us. Now, Saudi's important too, but it's important in one big, big, big regard, and that's oil, but not as much as they used to. U.S. is pretty self-sufficient, and Canada sells more oil to the United States than not only Saudi Arabia, but the next five countries combined.
So let's talk about the other geopolitical things going on here. Iran. We need, obviously, we are coalescing with Saudi Arabia and Israel. And this is the first time that Israel and Saudi Arabia are getting on the same page in terms of the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And obviously, Iran is an enemy to both. And so there has been some sort of coalescence of action between those two traditional adversaries And with us as a bit of a broker in that, and there has always been, you know, in terms of, you know, that you've got the corporate world, the business world, and then the geopolitical world where people are fighting with each other publicly, but they're actually working with each other behind the scenes. And we've actually seen that for years and years and years in the Middle East, a double dealing and brokering of things like this. But Iran, now it seems that there is now that the veil of that is being lifted, and you are seeing the Saudis and the Israelis actually openly talking about their mutual interests as it comes to Iran. And is this Saudi Arabia, which may have its own internal issues with their, within the Wahhabi sect and within, you know, the real conservatives of the Wahhabi sect, not really wanting women to have, you know, greater and greater rights, and that, you know, they've given them this new Saudi leader is kind of opening the doors for them, and he's getting some resistance on his right. Is this just a way of, hey, stay out of our business here? They have to make an example out of Canada, and they don't want to upset the rest of the world here because we're at a critical point with Iran?
Well, you've covered a lot of points there, and you've hit on a lot of good ones. First of all, the Middle East has been divided for much longer than the U.S. has even been in existence. These will go back thousands of years, and the Shia and the Sunni are on two different sides, and you've described the Shia, who are more aligned with Iran, and the Sunni more aligned with Saudi Arabia. They've been at each other for a long time. So having this difference between these two countries is very much longstanding. But the Saudi government is one that there are very few people. We talk about the gap between rich and poor and how it's expanded in the United States. But the gap between rich and poor in the kingdom of Saud, the Saudi Arabian kingdom, is so wide that they have to be very careful. They do not want an uprising of the people. And so they're very, very sensitive to that. And so I think that's why they've loosened things up a little bit for women. That's why the king has talked about Vision 2030, where he actually would like to see things loosened up a bit more as a message to his people. But at the end of the day, they can't change that overnight. And you're right, there are pressures within the kingdom, both on the far right and the populist side, that he has to deal with. And this very much could be a message, a little less to Canada, although it's a hard one, that to everybody else in the world, don't mess in my backyard and start stirring things up and create a populist movement. Remember the years of the Arab Spring and all of the uprisings that had taken place in Egypt and elsewhere. The Saudis cannot afford to have that happen. And there are a lot of oil consumers in the world that don't want to see that happen. So there's money behind the stability of the Saudi kingdom.
Do you believe, I do want to go back to Iran for a second here, because obviously, you know, we've changed torn up the Iranian deal. They've now instituted a number of sanctions against Iran here in the United States. The pressure is really on them. And if I could just take you a little bit away from the Canada-Saudi Arabia thing, can you give us a sense of where you think that is headed? Ambassador
Heyman?
Ambassador?
Yes, I'm back. I'm back. Sorry, got cut off there.
Can you give us a little sense of that?
So I'm sorry, I missed the first part of the question.
Of Iran. Since we're in the Middle East for the moment. Yeah,
let's talk about Iran for just a second. First of all, Iran, they are a terrorist-based funding country. We know that. They have been involved in deeply problematic things around the world. But one of the things that they were very much working on was the creation of nuclear weapons. And what the Obama administration wanted to do was to be able to reach an agreement to shut down the development of nuclear weapons. Recognizing, of course, there's still all kinds of other issues here. And I think others have said, how could you reach that agreement and not deal with all the other issues? And I think that that was the complexity of the agreement. They were able to shut down nuclear development, and that is a fact. International observers, everybody knew that. But the Iranians were also still very involved in Syria and doing very bad things around the world. So the Trump administration made the decision to tear up this agreement, this nuclear agreement, to try to get to solve all the other problems. But this is, you know, this is one of these, you didn't get the replacement before you tore up the deal. And I think that there was a lot of opportunity to take the deal and walk in and negotiate as opposed to tearing it up. But the president has demonstrated with Paris, with TPP, with the Iranian agreement, with all of this, he tears up deals and doesn't have a substitute for them and then thinks that the substitute's going to come later. But so far, none of these new deals have shown up. Even NAFTA hasn't shown up. Thank God he hasn't torn that up.
Do you think that he should meet with the Iranians without condition?
So I think that a president should be willing to meet with anybody anywhere in the world. But the president needs to be prepared, needs to have the intellectual backing to have a discussion, and to bring a deep team with him to every one of those meetings. This is not a one-on-one, let's mano a mano, let's discuss this. And you can see what happened already with North Korea. The North Koreans are moving ahead with their rocket technology and nuclear technology. Bolton came out today and basically said it does look like that they're backtracking on what they promised. You saw what happened with Russia. That went all sideways with the president meeting with him one-on-one. So the answer is yes, if we're prepared, if we're disciplined, if we have the intellectual fortitude to have that discussion and negotiate something out, sure, we should meet with anybody. We're the United States of America, and we shouldn't be afraid to sit down at the table with anyone. But to go in and wing it, I don't think we should do that.
All right. Ambassador, thank you very much. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Ambassador. Ambassador,
it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
All right. We did a lot of serious stuff there, but yeah. There is a lot of serious stuff going on here. You don't like it when you know, the Saudis and Canadians are not getting along.
No.
And at the end of the day, we got to go with Canada.
Right, and it's firing a warning shot to the Western world. This is bigger than just Canada.
Right. Because as he pointed out, Canada provides more oil to the United States than all five of the other people combined who are providing oil to the United States outside the United States. So just a little something to think about.
Something to chew on.
Yes. So if you're thinking about, well, what about the oil? Well, there's your answer. All right, let's check in with Judy, find out what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Chicago putting more cops in violent neighborhoods.
Violetta? Hi, Tom Skilling is joining us right now.
Yes.
Live from the WGN-TV Weather Center, and that's a big active volcano of a place right there.
Yeah, what's going on?
It is.
Being brought to you by PermaSeal Basement Systems. And
boy, could there be a more appropriate sponsor these rains that we've got going on.
There's something, Tom, happening out here right now. Is that, mm-hmm. You know, the rain is passing, you know, down the river here. We're watching it try to wash away the spiders, and I'm watching how the spiders don't get washed away.
They stay there. They're not moving.
I know.
Like, you know,
they're a hardy breed, aren't they?
They are. Yeah. There's like a spider. I've just noticed. I have two spiders. I have his and hers spiders on my garage right now.
They moved in.
And they've got like on the corners of the garage, and they're up there. And then they build. And then if I try to walk through, it's like the Addams Family, or you know, like the Munsters or something.
Well, you know what it is. They want access to that deck of yours out there.
Oh,
you
talk
my
about
architect
it.
Deck is that funny? That is so funny, Tom. You should mention that because the architect people are standing in the other studio right now, and we are going to give away an architect deck coming up. In 30 minutes. Tom, it's almost like you read the script of the show.
I know. Right. I know. And just think of the spiders waiting for their dick, too.
Right.
You know,
they got a few out there, too. But
spiders are not eligible to win this particular contest.
No.
We should make that clear.
That's true.
But someone's day is going to be made today. It's going to be really cool.
That really is. That's terrific. And could there be a better time of the year to get something like that?
No.
Like a beautiful deck.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I know.
It's great.
I know.
Deck party.
And I'm telling
you.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you had enough of those already? She's already done two of them in 3 weeks. I'm like, all right, you're done now.
I know. Violetta loves her deck parties.
She does. She's good at planning them, that's for sure. We
absolutely
enjoy them.
Yeah.
So what we have here, although the spiders are telling each other about the deck, and they're all trying to move in, and I'm not going to let that happen. You know how that goes.
Are they as big as the ones we see up here? They're like 3 inches, and they're, gosh. Yeah.
It's the time of year. This is the time of year for that. These critters are, you know, they got to figure out. They're propagating, you know, and they got to figure out what to do. This is, you know, love is in the air with the spiders right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's time to acquaint the Orkin man with your deck.
Yeah, you know,
and your spiders.
I know. did. We called him today. And I'm like, got it. Yeah.
That's great.
All right. So let's talk. First of all,
yeah,
this is an auspicious day here at Tribune.
True.
And at WGN Television. The great Jen Lyons, who one of the most successful broadcast executives.
You know, I'll tell you, I heard Ben talking about her, and he's right. I mean, you know, there have been tears over here and everything else. I've got to tell you something. I've worked about a half century in this business, and I have never in my life come across anybody who works harder than Jen. And on top of that, she's the mother of six beautiful children.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, I don't know. I call her Superwoman. I don't know how she does it. She is the most a wonderful person to work for. And I'm not lying to you when I say, when we have a breaking news story, and when don't we anymore? You know, between marches and shootings and whatever's going on in Washington, it seems like we've always got something. Jen is here from the point that whole process starts to the, the bitter end. And I mean, if that involves getting in here at 3 in the morning, she's here at 3 in the morning, and she's here, till the wee hours of the morning. I really have kind of worried about her working so hard. honestly. And, but I told Jen, I said, look, you know, our hearts are broken that you're leaving us, but I've got to tell you something. If you have a couple more hours in a day to spend, and I'll tell you, she is a devoted Catholic. I mean, she really does. Believes in what the church stands for, and this position will be just marvelous.
Yeah, she's going to be the president of communications and external relations for Catholic Extension.
Yes,
which is a fundraising organization.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's going to be a big deal. It's going to be great. I mean, it is. As I said to Ben, it's great for the Catholic community in Chicago, which obviously is quite large, quite powerful, quite influential, and this town. Without the Catholic Church, I cannot imagine.
No.
In terms of the social services and the amazing structures that the Archdiocese of Chicago, when we can have fun, with all of this if we want. But the reality is, what they've done for Chicago is really profound and made Chicago a world class city.
Yeah.
And they're better off with Jen, and it's our loss at Tribune.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you think about all she's achieved in news and just about anything you can achieve, but now this seems like a higher calling. And
don't say hello to God. I have found out that does not end well.
One of the execs walked in here just now and said, we tried to get Jen to stay, but we have no powers equal to the one that she answers to.
Right.
How about it?
Jen, baby darling, sweetheart, maybe we could get you an extra $5,000 a year.
Parking space, maybe.
Was there lightning over Bradley Place today?
There is. In fact, Demetrius just came in from a live shot, and I'm surprised he didn't wash away in it. I don't think we've ever had a live shot at the top. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's some divine intervention going on right here.
Want to congratulate her.
One of our listeners did point out that Violetta made her first appearance on WGN-TV yesterday, and then Jen Lyons resigned today.
She didn't like the direction of business is going after that.
Just wanted to sort of understand if there's any connection.
She was very nice to me. I actually gave her a hug in the hallway.
I know. She is. You know, she's the kind of boss who will call you after you do something and say, what a nice piece that was. How often does that happen?
Really?
You know?
She does that? She didn't call me.
She does.
To know.
She will.
Note to self.
She will.
She will. Yeah. She has it now.
It's coming.
Trust me. Don't worry. You wait by your phone. Make sure the phone's on. Is the phone on? You ever do that? We're checking.
Well,
we also have this other within our family here, within the WGN Radio and Channel 9 family and the Chicago Blackhawks, which are our family here.
Huh?
And the loss of Stan Mikita. Ed, Eddie Olczyk is going to join us coming up here in just a few minutes. So just let us know here as the weather's moving through. Are we going to get the White Sox in tonight? What's it going to look like?
Well, you know, we've got some very heavy rains. It's sitting from Elgin across Arlington Heights, Elk Grove Village, Bellwood, right into the downtown area. And there's lightning with it. But it's concentrated within this little cluster of storms that's prompted that flash flood warning that's just been put out till 7 o'clock. We've had local 2-inch rains out by St. Charles already. And so there'll be quick 1 to 3-inch rain totals. And then this thing will kind of move on, and the showers will scatter and become less numerous. So, you know, there may be some issues early this evening, but I think things will kind of let up as the evening goes on. There'll be dampness in the wake of this, obviously.
Oh, yeah, dampness. There's always dampness.
I know.
Yeah, I'm constantly in a state of
a damp state.
Yeah, there's dampness.
Well, that's another reason that spider loves your dick.
Yeah, you get older, you get older, you get moist. Yeah. I don't know what goes on down there. I don't know. All right, I got to go. All right, thank you, Tom.
You bet, Ro.
Thanks, Tom.
Talk to you later. Bye, Anna. Bye, see you guys.
He's like, can't get out of here fast. Like,
all right. Yeah.
There it goes.
Thank God you have to go.
All right, let's check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
1,000 Chicago police officers about to infiltrate violent neighborhoods.
Violetta?
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment August 24th through the 26th. Learn more. Visit ctfoodbowl.com/night market.
We are mourning the loss of Stan Mikita, Chicago Blackhawks great today. It's announced that he passed away at the age of 78. And we here at WGN and the Blackhawks, our partnership with the Blackhawks, our relationship with that institution and these two institutions have been together on and off for many, many, many decades. And, of course, the Channel 9 as well. We take very seriously our commitment as a family to each other. Mm-hmm. And Stan Mikita was one of those figures. I think if you're of a certain age, and I am, our program director just walked in. He almost had a tear in his eye. He has a sign, Stan Mikita. He got when he was 5 years old.
And he remembers the moment like in great detail.
A black and white 8x10 of Stan Mikita in action, signed with a ballpoint pen because it was before the day of the Sharpie.
The Sharpie.
Right. And Eddie Olczyk joins us, and he's... you know, he's in that same generation. He's in our same generation of guys who grew up watching the great Bobby Hall and Stan Mikita together on the ice, the Kane and Taves of their era, for this incredible institution. But you know, no one, it's just as a hockey player, nobody has a hold on the records of the Blackhawks like Stan Mikita does.
Well, Rowan, Anna, great to be with you on such a sad day for not only, you know, our Blackhawk family and Blackhawk fans, not only in our town but all throughout the world. You know, it's a super sad day in losing somebody like Stan. But you're right, Ro. You know, when you think about how many great players have played for this franchise, and I would put Stan Mikita, when we talk about the Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports figures in our town.
Yes.
Like, Bobby Hall and Stan Mikita are certainly in that team picture when you think about the, you know, Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers and Ernie Banks and Walter Payton, yeah. Michael Jordan. I mean, Stan Mikita will always be a legend, and the numbers don't lie. And he played in an era where he wasn't a large man by any stretch, but he played big, and he played in an era where you had to be tough. And it's tough. But when you celebrate somebody's life and the impact that he had, not only in the game, but what him and his family did, Rowan, Anna, in our community. I mean, Stan started a hockey-impaired hockey camp probably, I think, 40-some years ago that still goes on to this day. So instrumental in the Blackhawks alumni. People might know this, but Stan was a pretty good golfer. He was a golf pro, I believe, out at Kemper Lakes, or at least an assistant golf pro for many, many years. And I probably live about a quarter mile from Kemper Lakes, and it was just surreal that I saw the statement beautifully done by Rocky Wirtz and John McDonough today, the release that the Blackhawks sent on the passing of Stan. But when I got the email, the skies opened up out in this neck of the woods. And it was just, you know, it was just one of those things where you just like, wow, like, you know, the man upstairs shedding a tear and all those angels up there shedding a tear, especially in this neck of the woods, because Stan spent so much time here as a golfer. He was a great golfer. It was just kind of eerie just to read the email, and all of a sudden it started pouring. We haven't had rain, you know, in 2 months, you know, so it was just one of those things. But yeah, look, and then the Blackhawks bringing him back as an ambassador, you know, anybody that came across Stan, you were better for it, because he made you feel good. He shook your hand. He looked you in the eye. He asked you questions. Wasn't afraid to bust some chops every once in a while, but that's what hockey players do. So it's certainly a sad day. And for all his teammates, the guys that got the opportunity, you know, I think about a guy like Cliff Coral, you talk about nicest guys around. I mean, a guy like Cliff Coral who played with Stan, just for all those guys that really knew him, knew him as a guy, as a hockey player, but it's a sad day for sure.
Eddie, speak to that a little bit, because, you know, he's known to so many who he created memories for, are the fans of this Blackhawks team for the years, as a fierce competitor, tough as nails on the ice. But what I'm seeing now, the people who really knew Stan knew him as being this warm, kind guy who would just make you smile, and you'd break out. He had that thing about him. He just cared about people.
Yeah, I mean, anytime I came across Stan, whether it was, you know, working as a broadcaster or as a hockey player, or, you know, being at any golf event. I mean, if there was a golf event in the city of Chicago, you know, probably in the middle 60s to the late 80s, early 90s, Stan Mikita was there. Like, he was at every event for every charity. I mentioned, Anna, how instrumental he's been with the Blackhawk Alumni Association over the years. Mm-hmm. The golf tournament is actually, you know, in honor of Stan, and it has been for many, many years. But, you know, like, I think anytime you're around, I remember the first encounter that I ever had with Stan Mikita was in the late 70s at the old Chicago Stadium. Again, watching the games on TV and going to games and knowing who Stan was just, I mean, to come across him like I did, believe it or not, in a men's room at the old Chicago Stadium, where I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's Stan Mikita. Like, it was like the greatest thing in the world, you know, like just to be next to somebody that you look up to and always wanted to, you know, to be like, to wear that Blackhawk sweater. And I was lucky enough to do that for, you know, 5 years of my 16 years in the league. But like I said, it just, you know, he did so much off the ice in this community. And, you know, look, he came over from Czechoslovakia to Canada and then found his way to Chicago. And this was his home. Like, he became entrenched in the community. He became a part of the fabric in our community in a lot of different ways. And, again, when the Blackhawks brought him back as an ambassador, you know, Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, and Jay Blunk, when they brought back Bobby and Stan, it reconnected the past, because there was such an empty piece there for such a long period of time. And this has nothing to do with winning and losing. It really didn't. Like, this was just like to reconnect the greats from the past to the new fans and to the new players and the current players that are here now. But it was just a great move to have them around and have Stan as an ambassador. Like I said, it's a sad day, not only here locally, but throughout the National Hockey League.
Let me put this in this perspective, you know, for kids who grew up who wanted to play hockey as you did and had the skills to do it. And he was a great centerman, the greatest of his generation, without question.
Sure.
You also were a centerman. You grew up in Chicago. You watched the Hawks on Channel 9. You turn on the TV and it would be sort of a yellow haze. The ice was yellow on TV in that era, not white when you'd watch it on TV, right? And
exactly.
You know, right after the Dick Van Dyke rerun, and then all of a sudden the Hawks are on, and you're watching that, and and it's Mikita, right, on the ice.
Yeah.
And you know, talk a little bit about how that inspired you to be in the NHL.
Well, I mean, I remember, too, just taking a step further, Ro. I remember maybe if it was a late game or whatever, if I wanted to, again, we had no internet. We had, you know, I don't even know if we had a VCR at my house. But I remember waking up the next morning and wanting to watch Ray Rayner and see the highlights of the Blackhawks game again. And that, like that, like that to me takes me back. It gives me goosebumps to think about just going back and watching and seeing. And I mean, Stan was, I mean, he was just, remember as a fan, just watch him. I mean, he was just so smooth. I mean, he played in the heavy areas. I mean, it was not a large human being by any stretch. And he played in the toughest era yeah. in the National Hockey League, you know, and that to me is when you look at his numbers, it was so impressive, but just so smooth, a tremendous passer, really good in the faceoff dot. You know, he played in an era with wood sticks, and we all know wood is good. And you know, he's famous in Wayne's World with the donuts and
right.
you know the donut shop, Sam McKenna's donuts. So I mean, this guy, like I said, he was a legend, and he represented the Blackhawks so well. But when it came to the player part of it, like he could play. You know, I just again remembering again better to talk to guys that had played with him, but. You know, he was a guy that could play any way you wanted. You wanted to play a hard game, Stan was right in the middle. Yeah. You want to play a finesse game, he'd be the one that you'd have to try to, you know, he'd play keep away with that puck. So he was, like I said earlier, when you talk about, you know, the Mount Rushmore of Chicago sports legends in this town, and we've had a lot of them, mm-hmm. Stan Mikita certainly needs to be in that team picture because of the numbers, and the numbers don't lie, and the success that he's had both on and off the ice in this community.
You know, you mentioned Mount Rushmore. Mm-hmm. There are statues in this town, too. You know, there's a Michael Jordan yeah. statue, the most famous of yeah. all the sports statues.
Yeah.
But just a few feet away
right. from
the Michael Jordan statue is the statue of Stan Mikita.
Yeah.
And the statue next to that of Bobby Hull, mm-hmm. in a position as though they were playing, you know, on the line with each other.
Sure.
And yeah. That's why that, you know, for people who are not hockey fans, or they're new to Chicago, or they're, you know, yeah. too young to remember Stan Mikita's contributions. It's why we remember him today, and I remember him obviously just as a fan. And your perspective is a little different, but we all are fans
yeah.
at some level, right? Mm-hmm. That's how it all starts.
But not only the fan of the player, but again, if you ever had the pleasure and the privilege to come across him as, you know, as you know, just, you know, human to human. You remember those type of things. I mean, Stan had a, you know, he had a great way of dressing, right? He had those, you know, those plaid checkered pants. And,
right.
you know, I mean, you know, like that was his style, right? And you just knew when the great Stosh was in a room. And
yeah.
I keep going back to it, but again, just to have him back as an ambassador, and anytime he was in the building, or, you know, we would show, you know, the ambassadors on television, it takes you back. And look, for the fan of this generation, or maybe in the last 10 years with these incredible young Blackhawk players that are getting a little bit older now, as we all do, but you know, we're going to be celebrating. I mean, at least I hope I am anyways, be able to celebrate these guys in 30 or 40 years from now and say, you know, and then
yeah.
again, it's just, and that's what the Blackhawk Convention is about as well, right? Like it's connecting mm-hmm. the past with the present and celebrating Blackhawk hockey. And life's a vicious circle. And when days like this happen, it's a day to celebrate. It's a day to reflect. And also mourn the loss of a guy that had a huge impact on a lot of people in this town. And he entertained both on and off the ice, and the guys that knew him best were his teammates and obviously his family. But, you know, to have him back a part of the Blackhawk family the last little while as an ambassador has just been it's great. And that's the way that it needed to be in the Blackhawks. Made it right, and just class personified yeah. when you think about the Blackhawks and Stan Mikita.
Thank
no
you.
Question.
Thank you, Eddie Olczyk, Hockey Hall of Famer Perfect. Himself. Not exactly a slouch himself
right.
on the ice. Thank you, Edzo. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Eddie.
All right. Judy Pylak's got the WGN News, being brought to you by Townstone Financial. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right
yes.
here on 720 WGN.
Exciting.
Bittersweet day here at WGN. Obviously, the passing of Stan Mikita
right.
and all the other things that are going on in the world. But, you know, we promise this, and We're going to make one person's day here.
Absolutely.
Because we have with us, you hear their names every day on this program. Mm-hmm. Finally, they're here. You get to meet them. Kristen and David Berryhill. They are the Archideck people. They are the Archideck of Chicagoland people. It's A-R-C-H-A-D-E-C-K. I spell that in my sleep now. They have been very fine partners of ours here for the last two seasons, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm.
And they we did the deck project last spring into the summer with you, and this year we decided we're going to give away a similar kind of thing to what I have, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Which is stunning and has been the source of great entertainment and wonderful memories.
These are the great people we need to thank for all those parties.
Yes. Now that's exactly it. Now I understand you met Violetta on the way in. Is
we
that
did.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did she run out immediately, shake your hand, and say, "I'd like to show you my property, please"? And have this worked out.
She also told us about some of the events on your patio as well. She said she had a great time.
Yeah.
I didn't go into specifics. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what she says.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it this way. Getting her, I had security escort her out of the house.
The
last two deck parties.
Yeah.
Overstayed
her welcome just a little bit.
That's how I had to hire security just for this. But
when the host goes to sleep and there's still someone there at the party that doesn't exist anymore, sometimes they don't get the message.
Yeah.
Just the same way everyone else does.
It's such a nice deck. I couldn't leave.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you see, you had to. You see, that's part of the thing. All right. So and what we did, obviously what you guys did for us, and you saw what I had before, which was, I live in a townhouse development that's mm-hmm. about 40 years old, and disrepair was a nice way of putting it, I would say.
We just gave it a facelift.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but a facelift that actually kind of works, unlike a lot of facelifts you actually see on the street. And this
not a Hollywood facelift.
No.
Those could go bad.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And the thing is, it changes, we've talked about this over and over and over again, it changes the way that you live. Inside your house too. If you have an outdoor, you have the ability to get outside,
mm-hmm.
especially if things aren't going well inside. Right. And I know all about that. So it's like sometimes you get, all right, I'm going
safe
out.
Haven.
I'm going out here now. And the fire pit makes all the difference in the world because you can be out there in the middle of January if you really want to.
It does. It's beautiful.
So thank you again for
You're
everything
most welcome.
You guys have
our
done.
Pleasure.
Our pleasure.
And so let's meet. This is Tina Perry from Elgin. Tina, you are the recipient of the 2018 Archideck, which is going to be, what is it? How many feet are
it's
we doing?
It's a 14 by 14 foot diameter circle paver patio. And we're using the Belgard Rin Lozano or Melding Stott, the pavers.
Oh.
So kind of like what you have at your house.
Yes.
So they're going to have a Rokon patio.
That's a thing. That's a very important deal right there. Congratulations, Tina.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
No joke.
Are you seriously?
Yes. Oh, yes, seriously.
Oh, my. Wow, that is so awesome. I cannot wait for you guys to install that.
Well, the beautiful thing about them mm-hmm. is that they come out, they've got the best crews. I've said this too.
Yeah.
The crews, I mean, they literally have become my best friends. I go, I go to the parties with them on the weekends. These guys are amazing at how quickly they're able to do it and how precise they are. And really, there's a lot, there's a ton of artistic technique to making this thing work right,
mm-hmm.
to make it,
mm-hmm.
To make it perfect at the very end there. So, okay.
That will be awesome, Tina, because have house parties, I have house parties all the time in my backyard.
And what do you have right now, Tina? How's it looking out there?
It's a pretty big backyard. I have a deck currently, or a brick patio right now, but adding on to it, my fire pit is currently rusted and ready to fall apart, so I'm looking forward to a new one.
Yeah, there you
actually,
go.
Actually, quite frankly, and a little bit safer, but we sit out here and we drink with the neighbors all day long. So you know.
I can't wait to meet with you.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Are you guys coming over for the party?
Yeah. Well, we may just have to.
Well,
I mean,
since you asked.
That drinking all day long. See, Violetta, are
Violetta's
you available?
On board.
Yeah. Kev, you as long as you have some food.
You have to understand, though, I'm a teacher, so I'm off during the summer.
Oh, mm-hmm. Perfect.
Let me ask you something, Tina. Do you want Judy to show up, or how do you feel about that?
I like Judy, sure. She can come on over.
Not
Judy,
enough liquor in the world.
Judy is right. Judy is like, if you're a teacher, how long have you been teaching?
22 years.
Okay, so mm-hmm. In that teacher room or conference or whatever they call that, like the teacher's lounge?
Yeah.
There's always one teacher in the teacher's lounge and they walk in. Everybody gets real quiet because they don't want to get into a confrontation with that person?
Yeah.
That's
that would
Judy.
Be me, probably.
That's oh, Judy, this is perfect.
You found your match.
We have a kindred spirit for you, Judy.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, out on a patio, things are a little bit different.
Yeah. Judy's actually fun at parties, right?
Mm-hmm.
She is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A little alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a little. Not a little.
Nobody can hear the screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
Or it's a different kind of vibe.
Judy was out actually counting the Bellegarde pavers at my house. She was walking them off, and they got I know, and then she was doing the multiplication and all of that. She goes, all right, how much are these things?
I was very
That's
impressed.
Awesome.
It's oh my gosh, you are going to be so happy.
Oh, this will be exciting. So will my neighbors will be so excited to come on over and hang out with us and have a big bonfire and drink away. So.
Yes, right. Okay. Now, just as somebody who, you know, just recently entered the fire pit world,
uh-huh.
I've been to fire mm-hmm. pits. You know, I had friends who had them, and I was always jealous of
they're
them.
They're the
this,
best.
This, to me, was just it was the whole reason for being for me for doing mm-hmm. this was to have that mm-hmm. ability. But I will say this, that you must be cognizant while drinking of the fire pit. It is, because every once in a while, you know, you put your feet up on the, you know, uh-huh. on the side, and you're like,
ouch.
That thing's on fire!
Ouch.
Or you pass something over the top, and you're like, whoa, that's close.
Yeah, you got to be very, you got to get a little bit of timing and used to it. And just, you know, ease your way into the fire pit, because it's going to be, it changes your life, though. And you know
what's it does.
Great is like Thanksgiving. I did this at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who, and you know, now at Thanksgiving, everybody has to get out of the house to get away from somebody they don't want to talk to. And it is great to have that space outside. And it was, you know, it was a crisp Thanksgiving this year, mm-hmm. and they had the fire going, and it's really great. Really great. Congratulations, Tina. We're really glad we could do this for you.
Congratulations, Tina.
Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to it being installed. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tina.
Excited for her. Right. She's going to use it.
That is one very lucky WGN listener right there.
That's right. She doesn't know that we come with it, but we haven't told her that part yet.
Are you getting like a Rokon plaque to put in one of the pavers?
Absolutely. I like that. A little memento.
We should probably do that. Just, uh-huh. you know, engrave a plaque. Engrave one of the pavers for them.
Maybe
like the
just,
bricks.
Just, uh-huh.
At Wrigley
like
Field.
Like Wrigley Bricks, sure. How about
best of luck,
Rokon.
Tina.
Tell us what you want to say on it.
They can do it.
I can't tell you on the radio. But it's really going to be, it's going to be great. And, you know, hopefully we'll be able to, you know, do more of these. But this is a, I'm telling you right now,
mm-hmm.
changes the way you live. And thank you guys again.
Thank
for
you.
Doing
You're most
awesome.
Welcome. Our pleasure.
Awesome.
We love creating spaces for people to be able to continue, you know, meeting with family and friends.
It changes life. It really does. To have a cool outdoor area. I mean, we don't even go inside when we have your parties.
Right.
We stay outside the entire, it's just like to go in to, you know, fuel up on the alcohol, the beverages and the food, and then we're back out again.
Right.
That's just the way it is because it's so enjoyable. So peaceful.
That's nice. Good.
That is very, very nice.
It changed Roe because he's a lot nicer.
Yeah. He invites us over now because we don't dirty up the house.
Seriously. He's just more
stay outside. I can always hose off the architect deck.
He does.
Right, the architect patio. That's why God invented the hose, so I can get I can get all the stain of everything that we're going to do off of there.
What are you doing? Back on the patio.
Yeah.
That's what he tells us. But it works.
It works somehow. I have the drunkest spiders in all of Chicago. That's what I've got. All right. Well, thank you again. And thank you for your dedication to WGN and everything and giving this away. I mean, we had so many people want to be a part of this. And really, the deck is what everybody talks about now. I mean, this is like this, you know, it's. And some people actually have fun with the word deck and they do it in a you know.
Oh, yeah.
It gets a little dirty.
Yeah.
We know.
I'm sure what you mean.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think you guys have a lot of deck picks up on the website.
Yes, there's tons of them. Yeah,
totally.
Well,
you guys are great. So we love, we love doing anything for you too. So
right.
And
deck videos too. That's a very important thing. So you can go see our you go to architectofchicagoland.com and you can see the project that we all did last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I'm sure there'll be pictures of this the new project you're going to do
absolutely.
For
yep.
Tina.
For
mm-hmm.
Tina and it's going to be great. So, and we'll be at the Tina's house. I do like a hard partying, hard charging teacher.
I know.
Right? So that, like, there's undoubtedly either a student in a car with their parent or a parent is at, like, it's like, oh my God, that's Mrs. Perry. They're like, yeah, I can't wait to get loaded on the deck.
She's had a new patio installed.
No kids allowed.
And she's pretending it's only during the summer that she has a free
Right, exactly. Right. Well, I'm telling you, Thanksgiving, man. Are we now? Beautiful fall night. There's nothing. Halloween, right? Isn't there no better time to do it? So you should get that stuff done now.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
David and Kristen Berryhill, thank you so much.
Our pleasure.
And let's check in now with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
They came together to march down Lakeshore Drive, but now organizers have split.
Oh, this is a shocker. Violetta. Concho with Anna DeBluntis, yes. Right here on 720 WGN. All right. It's 5 o'clock.
Yes,
a little
it
rainy.
Is.
Rain's mm-hmm. getting out of the way here, though.
Yeah. Moving through.
Yep. It's a little moist.
Wrecking a little bit of havoc on the traffic.
Yes, it has been.
Commute. We mm-hmm. needed the rain, though.
We did, actually.
Yeah.
We did.
Everything's greener now.
Yeah. It was a really wet May. And then into June, and then nothing. Nothing, I tell you.
It's good for golf.
I've noticed some burnout, though. Have you noticed some burnout?
In the grass?
Yeah, but at least we can get out. There's no rainouts.
That's true.
That's what I pull for. I know, like, people, farmers and landscaping, not a big fan, but for a golfer, I'm all for
agriculture.
I want dry and I want sunshine.
Or how about just your average homeowner?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. The flowers have been struggling.
You have a house now, don't you? So don't you have a yard?
I do. Yeah, I didn't have to water today. That's huge. So that's nice, I guess. But I don't know. I like it dry, sunny, and warm.
I have a house now. He and his buddy. It's like...
Wait, he was watering the lawn.
Yeah, I don't
know. Some fresh sod was put down.
Oh.
I got to take care of that when he's out of town.
Wow.
It's my responsibility this week. Being an adult, no big deal.
Ma! Could you come over and water the lawn?
Bring the hose.
Tommy's out of town.
Right, it's getting parched. It's got some, you know, some brown spots. Somebody's got to deal with that.
All right. Shall we do this?
Let's do it.
Because if it's 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Number 5.
No.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show. 5. Let's go. 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBluntis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Orion is so, he just wants to get home. You know, he's been working all day and all night. He just wants to get through this. Here we go.
Number 5.
Oh, gosh.
Donald Trump is going to build the Space Force!
Mm-hmm. Except you can't add the 6th branch of the military without congressional approval. Got to work that part out first.
Well, yeah, he kind of, kind of got a little ahead of him. I quite honestly have never understood what they're doing here with this, because we already do have the Air Force Space Command that has the exact same responsibility, but yet he wants to build. I think he wants his legacy to be, you know, he wants to be able to say to people at dinner parties, by the way, the Space Force, I invented that. Because he figures that 2 months after he's out of office, people will forget that he did that or that he was president. Oh, God. Anyway, the point is that he wants to do this, wants to spend money on building another branch of the military. I don't happen to think we need it, but that's not up to me. That's just my opinion. Jim Mattis, he is the Secretary of Defense. He thinks mm-hmm. it's a great idea.
We're working it up, what that actual organization will look like. It'll be fit for purpose, is what I can assure you. But I don't have all the final answers yet. We're still putting that together. We are in complete alignment with the president's concern about protecting our assets in space to contribute to our security, to our economy, and we're going to have to address it as other countries show a capability to attack those assets. We'll get it right. We'll work it through the Congress. We have the direction from the president, and we're underway.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't this sound basically like if you have Richie Rich, where the president of the United States, the comic book character, and they don't want to tell him no to his Space Force, but they want to. It's like, you want the puppy. We're going to get a puppy. Oh, we'll see. I think Jim Mattis was giving us the big we'll see. It was the Heisman.
Saying, no, you'll get your puppy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what we need to do, though? We need to get the house puppy proofed first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe we should wait till after Christmas to get the puppy.
Vice President Pence is delivering a speech about the puppy this Thursday about the next steps and how this will actually be created. So they're moving forward.
I don't get what they think they're getting out of this. Because everything that this White House seems to do is very, very political, right, in its intent. And I don't fully understand where they think they're getting votes on this.
They're digging deeper in that
alien
in that
votes?
Group. Yeah.
Since they're losing actual aliens, they want other alien, want space alien votes? I don't know.
Well, I think vulnerability, if there were any vulnerabilities by the U.S. in space, it would be taken advantage of by, you know, military adversaries, right? So you don't want to have that situation. But whether or not it's part of the existing military or a brand new branch, how it's created, what kind of private sector involvement there is, because that's what the president is promising, that the private sector is going to help pay for it because they will be using our facilities.
We already do this, though. That's the thing. It's sort of like, It would be kind of like, I can't even imagine an analogy that really works for this, because we already have one. It's like he wants a puppy. He's already got a dog. He's got the Air Force does this already. The Air Force spends billions of dollars on this.
Yeah.
It creates a whole new bureaucracy in the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. And he's spending money like a drunk sailor. Except this is a space sailor. I don't understand. But it does allow us to say things like, Space Force!
Sounds great. You can loan that to Vice President Pence for Thursday's speech.
Did you say they dug up from Mike Pence, they dug up this whole thing about how a president should be impeached for his morality, and, yeah, and if he besmirches the presidency by having affairs and maybe lying about them, that's grounds for impeachment.
Right, you've lost your moral authority to lead, he said, of course talking about Bill Clinton in the 90s.
Mike, go out and talk about the Space Force. All right,
don't
sir.
Don't field any questions about that.
It's the greatest honor of my life to serve you, sir. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Seth Meyers last night had our friend Lester Holt on the program.
Oh, nice.
Lester Holt is a regular on this very broadcast on Thursdays. You can hear him here at 4 o'clock. They talked about the whole, I'm sorry, what now, Wednesdays? Is that what you're saying? Wednesdays now.
Mm-hmm.
We just moved him to Wednesdays last week.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep track of that?
Yep. I got to change that on my mental calendar. So tomorrow, you can hear Lester Holt on this program at 4
that's
o'clock.
What you meant.
Yes, that's what I meant. Now, he was on Seth Meyers last night, and they talked about the whole fake news thing and the president tweeting about how it's fake and sick and disgusting, the news business in America.
You know, I let the fake news stuff roll off my back. It's not fun. But I think most people understand an organization like ours, and a lot of the organizations under fire have been doing this for decades and decades, and we've earned a lot of trust with our audiences and a tradition of excellence. So I let that roll. I think where I draw the line, though, is the safety and well-being of my colleagues. And enemy of the people, I think, crosses a line. I think it's reckless. I respectfully ask that it end, and that's what I have to say about it.
As an American, that's an okay thing to say.
It really is. It really is. It's sort of enough is enough. I mean, they're saying a recent poll showed 43% of people surveyed said that it would be okay for the president to shut down news organizations that he felt were being disrespectful or, you know, wrong in some way. And it just feels as if that's the beauty of a free press, that you can ask uncomfortable questions. You can even print things that the president may not want to hear. I get it. There are some organizations that have moved a little too far in one direction or the next, but let's accept that as something that keeps our democracy open, and having a free press is a cornerstone of what we stand for here in America. There's such a threat to it.
43%? Would that same 43% think it's okay if Barack Obama wanted to shut down the press?
I wouldn't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Well, he's not even American, so he can't shut down.
Excellent point, Violetta. Thank you very much. Thank you.
According to the real media.
according to the current president of the United States. All right. Let's see here. But wait, hold on. Lester also talked about, listen to this, his early days in broadcasting as a DJ.
Yeah, I was a disc jockey, a weekend disc jockey in Sacramento. And, so I did Saturday and Sunday, midnight to 6 a.m.
Wow.
And then they offered me, when I started college, they offered me a chance to work full time if I would do news. And I was like, how hard can that be? turns out pretty hard. But they put me in a Jeep Cherokee with police scanners and two-way radios. And I hit the streets and started covering news, and I never looked back.
That's radio guy's rival.
I did a cup of coffee in Sacramento, too. I remember it.
Do you remember Lester Holt? Did you think he was your competition?
KSUC. I'll never forget it. The sucker. 93-1, the sucker.
The sucker.
Oh, gee.
There's hope for you to go into news, cheesy.
Yeah, but isn't that what I'm doing here right now?
How hard could it be?
It's not hard at all. I listen to Judy Blue Eyes all the time. I know.
I'm sorry, did you say you want to get into news?
How hard could it really be?
You want me to show you how hard it can be? It'll hurt, like physically.
I'd love to see that internship.
He sounds like he's slurring a bit today.
Well, that's no problem.
Hitting the Jack Daniels
as
early.
As you can write, you can drink.
There's a blue blood vessel in my head. I'm not sure which one it is.
Show up in time, right. Do a good job, you're good.
Lester said this then. He was asked this.
What's your dream next chapter? I do.
I don't know, because people think I'm going to write books and all that. I want to form a wedding band.
Okay.
You know, I'm a bass player.
You play bass, that's right.
I want you to think for a second. When's the last time you danced? I'm going to bet it was at a wedding reception.
100%.
A cover band at a wedding. People are having fun. You've got two-year-olds. You got grandma dancing. It's a happy moment. It's a happy thing. And I think, what a great job that would be. The only downer, you got to work weekends.
Okay, he hasn't thought this out, but we'll ask him about that tomorrow.
We need to ask him about that. He's played some, you know, pretty big gigs. He's got a band assembled with other news people mostly from, I think, NBC, mm-hmm. in front of the camera, behind the scenes, and apparently they're pretty good.
Yeah, I played a triangle in the band for a while. I just couldn't understand the instrument.
Shredding the triangle?
Yeah, and a cowbell. Pretty good at cowbell.
Cowbell.
One, two, three. What comes after three?
Don't worry about it.
All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one. That's the kind of nut math I understand. What's that mathnasium phone number again? We'll get to that coming up. But first, Judy, tell us what's coming up in the real news at the bottom of the hour.
Heavy rains causing flooding in the Chicago area.
Violetta?
Time to show New York they aren't the only ones who make pinstripes look good. Tuesday night baseball, White Sox Yankees tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
There you go. All right, Top 5-5 continues. We've worked our way to
number 3.
Okay.
What's going on?
All right. The NFL is going to have male cheerleaders this year.
Oh.
Yeah, what's going on?
I'm fulfilling a lifelong dream. Thanks, guys.
Oh. Be fun for you, Kev.
Would you like what would you like to dance to, Kev?
It's raining men. Hallelujah, it's raining men. Amen.
Yeah, I see it. I see it.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
It's 2018.
The Colts and the Ravens already have stuntmen that do things, you know, like jump out of the sky and do those kinds of deals.
Mm-hmm. Jump out of the sky and do those
Whatever.
Kinds of deals.
Yeah,
that's
well,
what you
know,
do,
cheerleading
Kevin.
Stuff.
But the Rams and the Saints now are going to have guys dancing along. Would you like to meet two of them from the Rams? Okay, this is Quentin Perrone and Napoleon Ginnies.
Go hard or go home at this point. Like, my personal motto is live lucky and dance bold. I feel like I've been dancing pretty bold this far.
I was practicing a lot, so I felt like I did pretty well. A lot of eye contact and a lot of smiles, so I feel good.
Oh, God.
It's raining men.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah, it's raining men.
What a meal. I just don't want male cheerleaders.
Right. Will the male cheerleaders also get below minimum wage pay and be forced to sign restrictive contracts about their makeup and what they wear and where
and
they go
they
and
how,
if they ever look make eye contact with the players?
Will they also get harassed?
I'm just wondering. Throwing that
out
there.
Team executives. Right,
if there's if they enter a restaurant or a nightclub that has a player in it, they have to leave
they
immediately.
They have to walk out. per their contract.
It sounds to, I'm going to be honest with you right now. Hold on. I'm going to kind of give Quentin and Napoleon are not going to be in the same nightclubs with a lot of the players. That's all I'm saying.
Before you sign up, Quentin, just take a look at the fine print.
Yeah. I don't think Quentin's got to worry about that. All right.
Okay. It's all going to be fine.
Hey, good for them.
Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's not. This is another headache for Roger Goodell.
Remember the Bears just had to get rid of the cheerleaders?
Right. Virginia McCaskey didn't even want cheerleaders, right?
Right. They're like, no, we're not doing it. Because, you know, the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, they're the only ones that anybody really ever cared about.
Those
the Raiderettes a little bit, because the Raiderettes look like they could kill you, too.
Eye patches on, right, tattoos, like, smoking a cigarette on the
biker
sideline.
Biker chicks.
Right.
Hold on a second. I think I hurt my hamstring. There's a lot of, you know, it was a little kind of a thing. All right. Checking in at
number two.
I can see you over there staring at your drink, watching that I sink all alone tonight.
New Jersey woman wanted to help a guy at her local convenience store who was struggling to come up with cash for his little purchase.
Yeah.
So she helped him out. And what she did not realize, Ruth Reed, retired teacher, is that the guy she was helping out is Keith Urban.
And go out, what's your name, Ruth? And he said, Ruth, I'm Keith. And I said, that's who you look like, Keith Urban. Do people ever tell you you look like Keith Urban? And he said, I am Keith Urban. I said, no, you're not, really. And I said, really? Then where's Nicole? And who was that woman you were with? And snippy, not nice. And so
you got snippy with Keith Urban.
Yes. And then he said, it's my sister, we can ask her. I said, okay, I don't think she would lie to some old lady. And he really could have said, lady, get away from me. And he didn't. He was very kind.
How sweet is that? And she's very kind too. She says she makes it her duty every once a week to treat somebody at that store and just happen to be Keith.
I'd like to know something.
What?
Why did Keith Urban need the money? That's what I like. Does Nicole keep the money?
Cash.
What about his sister? Sister doesn't have cash?
He's a credit card guy.
Get the Apple Pay, Keith.
At the convenience store, at the Wawa. He was at a Wawa store.
Never mind. I don't know if they take that there. I live in the West Loop where I live. A lot of the establishments proudly proclaim at the front entrance, we will not take cash. We are a cash-free zone. Cash-free environment.
What is wrong?
We don't do cash.
What is wrong with those people?
I hate them.
I don't know. I thought cash was still king.
Cash is king.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Telling you that right now. I don't want guy cheerleaders. All right.
That one bothers you.
And finally.
Number one.
It's one of the great sports icons of the NHL. He's a player that has lived on for generations after he stopped playing. Today, the memories of Stan Mikita are being shared by Blackhawks and fans throughout the nation, throughout the world. Mikita was a Blackhawk for 22 years. Led the franchise in points, 1,467. Games played, 1,394. Four-time Art Ross Trophy winner is the NHL's leading scorer. He was named Hart Trophy winner for league MVP in the 1966 and 1967 seasons. In those same years, Mikita was also named the Lady Byng Trophy winner for sportsmanlike conduct. Here are some of his teammates. Tony Esposito.
Stan played forever here. He was a scoring champion and leader and great talent. You know, for a guy that weighed 160 pounds, that's all he weighed, Stan. Tough little guy.
Stan's jersey, number 21, was retired in 1980. In 1983, he was inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. He served as an ambassador for the Blackhawks in 2008, starting in 2008. Here is Jonathan Toews, the Stan Mikita of his generation.
And Stan especially, who, you know, if you look at him and Bobby, he was probably, you know, on the more serious side of the two, but obviously had a lot of great qualities about him as a person, as a leader, and obviously carried it into his later years. And when you don't see him around as much, you're still kind of disconnected to what he accomplished as a hockey player and what he did for the city. But we all know what that name means to this franchise and to hockey in Chicago and its history.
And here is Stan Mikita back in 1995 on his love of the city that became his.
I'll never forget the first time in the stadium. I was called up as an 18-year-old kid out of junior hockey. Montreal's in town. I'm sitting on the bench, middle of the first period. The coach tapped me, which was Rudy Pillis at the time, tapped me on the shoulder. He said, go and take this face out, which was in the Montreal end zone. And I said, who, me? He said, yeah, get the hell out there. So I jumped over the boards, fell on my ass because my legs were a little shaky. And I get to the face-off circle and put my stick down, and I look up to see who I'm facing off against. And I just kept looking and looking and looking. It happened to be John Belleville. At that time, I think I was about 5'8". He's 6'5". It was quite an imposing figure that I was looking at. And that was my first impression of hockey in Chicago.
Stan Mikita was 78.
The top five at five.
Sad day in Blackhawks land, but the show must go on, and we got tickets coming up a little bit later on for the Blackhawks. Their preseason game home opener. Tickets go on sale right now, by the way, at ChicagoBlackhawks.com for the preseason. So if you want to do that, so stay close. A couple minutes away, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Mike Monaco, he is an attorney at law. He's a very important man in this and every other town in America.
Right. He is.
Especially if you've broken the law, he's the kind of guy you want around you.
Yeah. Good guy for us to know, just in case.
Yeah. Or if you need a lawyer, anybody needs a lawyer, I'm available. What did I used to say, Ro?
No case too big or too small.
That's exactly right, Ro.
That's exactly right.
So it's an interesting day in Manafort land.
His attorney says it was a great day.
Well,
for Paul Manafort.
His attorney had made some good points today. He started out by saying, when did you start lying to the special counsel? That's how he started.
To Rick Gates, his deputy?
Yeah. Rick Gates was the big witness on the stand.
Uh-huh.
And Downing, the defense lawyer for Mr. Manafort, did a great job, sounds like. And he went through a series of different questions. Interestingly, maybe the one that's going to get the most news is that he says, there was a secret Richard Gates, wasn't there? He said, pardon me? He said, there was a secret Richard Gates. 10 years ago, he had an affair, extramarital affair, and would go to London and had a flat in London for at least 2 months and spent money. The reason apparently this got in evidence, because it's not a crime to do that, but apparently the reason it got in evidence is because he had used money that he had embezzled from Manafort to pay for the tryst, pay for the flat, to pay for the first-class airfare.
We have the idea that these are not really good and honorable guys that we're dealing with here. I mean, they've already set up Rick Gates as being a liar, lied about all this stuff, and he and Manafort were stealing together. How damaging is that in front of a jury?
Well, what I'm surprised is, first of all, I would assume that the prosecution would have objected to it getting in, but apparently the judge allowed it to get in because of its connection to Manafort. So because Manafort's money...
So the prosecution know this was coming?
I have to believe they knew it was coming.
Because that whole idea of like the surprise thing doesn't really happen in real courts.
Not ordinarily. This was a big deal, though, for him to say there's a secret Richard Gates, and you know, 10 years ago he lived a different life.
Well, wouldn't the prosecution have, because they were dirting up Richard Gates yesterday in day one, the prosecution, even though he was on their side in this, or is on their side in this, they were basically, there's a term that...
Stealing the thunder. They were trying, normally prosecutors do that, they bring out the worst things about the witness in his past, and in order to get it out and steal the thunder from the defense lawyer to ask the question. But here... It came out hard on the during the cross-examination, and then he got out the fact that he was facing 50 to 100 years in jail.
Gee.
Had they prosecuted, conducted this investigation, indicted him for all the crimes he would have committed. Now, that's always a good thing for a defense lawyer to do for two reasons. One, of course, it shows the jury how many benefits, really how far the government has gone to get this witness's testimony, what they have paid for this witness's testimony. So that's important. But secondly, in a case like this, it's always important for the jury to find out how much time the defendant is facing. And you can't get that out because you're not allowed to argue to the jury that that the defendant is facing 50 to 100 years in jail unless someone else like this witness testifies that he was facing that much time.
Okay.
But that he's not facing it any longer because of the
So is that government. Good then to make the jury feel a little bit bad for this guy because, oh, what did he do? He's going to spend the rest of his life in jail. And what
well,
did
that's
really
true. If you have any kind of sympathy, any jurors work up any sympathy, who knows if they are or not, but you often want the jury to know that what they're doing, that their decisions are going to be very, very serious decisions, and it's decisions that are going to affect this fellow's life forever. And that's what you want the jury to know.
Seems like they're doing a good job, the defense is, of painting this Rick Gates as a liar, as you pointed out, and you already knew that, embezzling millions, using these offshore bank accounts to reroute funds to mistresses and other things. And he looks like a really bad guy, but are the prosecutors successfully making the link to Manafort and his involvement in what he's done wrong?
Well, in their direct testimony of Mr. Gates, it seems that they did a good job of that because they have documents. They have all the documents showing that, for example, this fellow Calk, who's from Chicago,
who's banker.
A banker from Chicago, who gave a $16 million loan to Manafort, that Manafort sent emails to Gates after he left the campaign saying, we have to try to get this guy in as Secretary of the Army. That's a small job.
Yeah.
Secretary of the Army. And they also, mm-hmm. I mean.
He was a military guy, too. He's never got the job.
Didn't get the job. But they also tried to get him tickets to the inaugural, and little things like
right,
that.
Right.
But the concept of pay to play, really.
What they're setting up here with Manafort is that Manafort was busted broke. He lived this gigantic life serving at the whim of dictators and other bad guys around the world and trying to tell their stories, either, you know, redefine their own reality in their countries, whether it was Ukraine, you know, with the pro-Russian Ukrainian political parties trying to get them, trying to help them define their message and refine their message and sell that to the voters, if you will, of Ukraine, or coming back here and selling Ukrainian, pro-Russian Ukrainian interests to lobbying them in Washington, right? All those, that's what these guys were doing. And they were making hundreds of millions of dollars for their company.
And beyond that, when he was deeply in need of money, Manafort would send emails, for example, they showed the emails to Gates saying, I'd like this document, for example, a document of his profit and loss statement. I'd like this document not in non-PDF Word document. I want a Word document in order to change it. So he sent it to him. It's showing that he had a $600,000 loss one year.
Mm-hmm.
Manafort sent it back showing that he made $3 million. So the prosecutor said that was a difference of $4.2 million. That's right. The $4.2 million difference in the documents that Manafort were true versus what he filed with the banks. So they have a lot of this is a paper case in many respects. And by paper, I mean the documents are very, very valuable to the government's case. And they're very valuable to make Gates's testimony seem credible. Because the defense lawyer Dunning did a great job of breaking down the credibility of Mr. Gates.
Do you think that based on what you've seen so far, is Manafort going to take the stand? Very unlikely, right?
Very unlikely.
And how's it going for him? I mean, today went well, but
today
overall
went well. I think he had a good day today, but you know, it's the defense.
The totality here becomes a problem. Right?
Well, it's totality, and the whole thing is just as you said when I sat down today. There's a whole lifetime of raw, bad dealings. I mean, they were just so corrupt. Gates and Manafort together were both so corrupt.
Right, right. They're just bad guys.
Yeah,
and somehow
amazing.
They ended up. Somehow they ended up at the right hand of Donald Trump.
The right hand of the president.
I barely knew him. They were just here for a minute. Yeah. Right. I mean, but that's what it turned out to be.
Yeah.
And all right, before we let you go, the one thing that's important here is what they're trying to set up here is that Gates. The other kind of the indictment of Trump in all of this, the silent indictment of Trump in all of this, is that he hired Manafort, who was busted out broke and was willing to sell his access to the levers of power here and to Donald Trump. And that becomes an issue later on down the line, maybe not in this case, but in the next case against Manafort and potentially in some sort of, you know, legal action against Donald Trump or his family.
It was amazing. Here's Manafort willing to work for Trump for free.
Right.
And Mr. Trump took it.
Right.
Took it. Now, right. Why did he take that?
Yeah. Because, people say, well, because he's very frugal. Yeah, but no.
Had some interest in Russia. That's obviously the problem.
Yes, and we'll see where that ends up. All right, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Mike Monaco. I really did. Sure. No case too big or too small. Mm-hmm. Monaco Law down here in Chicago. What's the phone number at Monaco Law?
312-782-8500.
312-782-8500. Yes. I have that tattooed on my palm.
You should.
Keep that close.
On my palm, and I just when the arresting officer, I just hold it up.
Talk to him.
Or after the car accident.
Right, exactly.
And you show it to the nurse.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Call them. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Thanks. I don't know if that makes me feel any better. It doesn't really at all. All right. Let's find out now from Judy what's coming up at the top of the hour.
A bigger Chicago police presence in area seeing bigger violence problems.
Violetta?
So, listen to the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 6 to 10. Win tickets to see us. I guess see the team at the SNL Museum, broadcast on Friday, August 10th, Saturday Night Live Museum.
Right now, car number 21, in memory of Stan Mikita. 312-917-2200 wins a pair of tickets to the Blackhawks preseason home game. Single game preseason tickets are on sale right now. ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Regular season tickets go on sale tomorrow, isn't that right? Or Thursday, I think it is. That is not new release Thursday.
I'll double check for you, Radio.
Check that out for me.
Because we're not always big on the facts with Radio Man. Let's see.
So we got all that coming up August 20th at 10 a.m. Regular season tickets go on sale Monday, August 20th at 10 a.m., which is not Thursday. Not Thursday.
Close enough.
But I think it's New Music Monday.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep track.
I'm awfully confused right now.
Yeah, regular season home games go on sale Monday, 10 a.m.
Yeah, Monday. August 20th. Monday, August 20th.
Still got a couple weeks.
Not any Monday. I don't even know what the hell day it is. What month is it right now?
I believe it's August.
Still August.
I'm wearing my sunglasses. It's always night outside of me.
You're in the summer book. Yeah. This is big, Radio.
Oh, it's summer, but yeah, it's important. Yeah,
bring your A game.
Yeah, that's right. All right.
What's happening?
I don't know. We're going to find out what's happening in the WGN News. We still have 2 minutes before we get to that. Stay right here. You know, it's a Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN, taking you through your afternoon.
That's right. Brady Bunch House, by the way, guys, sold. And sorry, Lance Bass of NSYNC, you didn't get it. He had put on Instagram that he got it and then said, oh, no, a corporate buyer moved in and outbid him after the deadline. Brady Bunch House sold to Discovery Channel HGTV. They're going to restore it to its original glory.
Former boy band member tries to buy a historic house until a corporate guy comes in.
He was pretty mad, too. He said, we were prepared to go even higher, but totally discouraged by the seller's agent. They will outperform any bid with unlimited resources. How is this fair? How is it legit? And then apparently...
It's called capitalism, my friend.
Free market, buddy.
After the deadline was a bit, I don't know. That's not so
right.
Cool,
they said that there was something unkosher about it, but you know, I don't know. But
he's happy now because HGTV said that he loves them, loves the channel, and that they're going to restore the house. They're going to do the right thing.
Yeah, because HGTV
might employ him.
Like, they said, "Listen, baby, darling, Bubby. Sweetheart, listen, Bubby, shut your mouth. Maybe we'll give you a little piece on this show. All right, you hear me?"
So now he's happy. Everyone's happy. Everyone's
maybe
smiling.
Maybe he can do a new song. It's the story of a guy who couldn't get the house.
No, I see what you did there, Jim.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I always thought it was just the outside of the house.
It is just the outside.
Okay, so can I ask you a question? I noticed this today when I was looking at this story.
Mm-hmm.
When they show the house on TV, you know, like the opening thing?
Yeah.
You know, or the opening shot?
Right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The outside.
And they make the plink, plink, plink sound when they show it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a ranch-style house with a peaked roof. Where are they going upstairs on the stairs?
I just saw it a few months ago.
I thought it was like a split level.
I feel like it is a split level. Yeah, I think there was an upstairs.
Well, you kind of come down. I mean, that was the thing. You had to come down. Like, Mike would come home.
Mm-hmm.
After a long day
afterwards.
Of sneaking into the bathroom with his male coworkers.
Ooh.
Didn't know that at the time.
Hey, what was his wife doing at the home, though?
Yeah.
Let's not even go there.
Right, with the son.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. She was making out the doghouse with...
With Greg.
With Greg, yeah.
Greg, yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of things we didn't know about what was going on in that show.
It really just seemed so wholesome at the time.
Sure.
It was just like a regular family.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everything looks good from the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That little Cindy back there thinking, one day I hope to grow up to be a heroin addict.
She was not, was she?
Something like that. No, that was Buffy. I'm sorry. I get them confused.
Buffy, right.
I get them confused. Buffy. Yeah, that was Buffy. Buffy had a heroin problem.
They looked alike.
Anyway.
I was like Jan. She was great.
Oh, I don't know. I was like Jan. I wasn't quite sure. Jan always looked like, she's good. Jan looked like she was definitely going out for the field hockey team and maybe the catcher on the softball team.
Hmm.
So, she had a little rough around the edges.
She had to put up with Marsha. Marsha was up to.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, what would Marsha do? Let's hear the dirt on her.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
No, she was just perfect her whole life.
Yeah, you know that Marsha was getting drunk and going to the point, if you know what I mean.
Okay, getting back to the house.
The house.
Hey, Greg, when are you going to move out of the attic so I can get up there with my boyfriend that you never met? It's on the basketball team.
That's where I store my cigarettes.
Yeah. Anyway.
So much going on.
All right, so the Brady Bunch, they sell the house.
Yes.
Whoever the owners were, and obviously they want to restore it so it looks like the interior of the actual
set. They said they didn't want developers. They were not going to consider offers from someone who was going to knock it down, redo it, totally just tear it, even do a gut rehab on it. They wanted somebody who understood its place in television history and had respect for that.
Oh,
why don't they just move it to the Universal lot or whatever?
Why don't they just take a picture of it? It's just the outside of the house. The inside has nothing to do with the show.
Right, I don't think the inside cannot physically look like the other house.
It doesn't look like the inside of the Brady Bunch at all from the inside. But HGTV is supposedly going to now do that. It's going to restore it.
Well, it's going to restore it in that age's glory, it says. It doesn't say it's going to turn it into the Brady Bunch house.
Hmm.
No, I think it did. In the 70s, it said they're going to make it into the 70s iconic.
Right. So they need an avocado refrigerator.
Yeah.
Right. And you need burnt orange furniture.
And where are they going to get an Alice in this day and age? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Where are you going to get an Alice?
Here's the thing, too. It does look, I mean, when I went down the street, I immediately saw, I knew the house. It's not even like, I was like, which one is it? I mean, it's so apparent which one it is. So the outside's pretty good still.
It does look good.
Yeah. I mean, it looks just like it, except for that wrought iron fence that I never saw in the show.
I never understood, like, the three boys and the three girls.
Mm-hmm.
And then why did Greg get to go into the attic? Because,
I don't know.
What was he doing up there that he needed? I have to work on my guitar. You don't.
You sound kind of jealous of Greg.
You wanted that life?
Yes, I did, actually. I did. Except I can't stand people.
Did you sit on your bed and strum a guitar?
Yeah, naked. Yeah.
And then call your mom in?
Right. No. God, no. No. Ugh. And the dog always looked like, the dog was like, I got to get out of this. Too many kids pulling on me.
The dog knew what was going on with the house, with the people.
Yeah.
You know, they know. The dogs know.
Yeah, that was the thing. The dog. And then the backyard. There was when you think about it, the backyard was the size of, Mike's car barely fit in the backyard.
Yeah, that's right. It didn't fit that. I mean, it wasn't huge. It was,
no.
Right.
So then they had, it was sort of limited in terms of what they could do back there. Let me pull my big car into your garage. That's what he used to say. What?
Right, they didn't film anything there. They just showed the facade of the house.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm.
It was
nothing.
That's why they call it television, Judy.
But I thought, like you just said, the yard. I could have sworn when I saw the yard, it still looked like just the little driveway with the
I'm sure the driveway.
This yard looks big. The one, the real house. Really big.
I thought they didn't even have real grass on the...
Nobody had real grass back then. Everybody put AstroTurf in their yards because they thought it was a good way to go.
It looks so bad.
Okay.
Which led to complete global warming right there. If you want the answer, that was it.
That was the problem.
That was the problem. It had reflective heat. It was in Southern California, all of the fake grass, AstroTurf. So the kids can't tear it up.
It's a 12,000 square foot plot of land with a 2,400 square foot house. Yeah.
Wow.
But they only used the driveway. They didn't even really have any grass in the show, right? They were never in the yard.
It was indoors. Did you notice that it was a television set?
No, I was totally tricked. It was my first, you know.
There was no sun. They never looked into the sun. They never were running around. At least some shows, like the Monkees, they would go out and they'd be outside somewhere. Not there. Everything was inside a controlled studio, and they had the same weird laugh person laughing sound at every joke.
Mm-hmm. Why do you have to ruin everything?
Because it ruined my life, that show. They had to share a telephone. Then it became a payphone.
Right.
And then Marsha got hit in the head with the ball.
Every episode.
I think I did too. And then remember when they collected all the stamps to go get the prize at the item at the home houseware store, and they showed up and it was closed, and it was the deadline. They were knocking on the glass.
Oh, that one was really intense.
But it all ended up okay because they got their own television show to dance around on the. They went to the local TV station.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, and they put on
they
jumpsuits.
Were so uncool. They really were.
Oh,
compared
worst.
To like the Partridge Family. Oh, yeah, yeah. They were just dorks
because they had real talent.
And then wasn't
people.
That when Bobby or wait, one of them had their voice was changing, so he had a star like a he had a solo.
Yes, of course.
Is that Peter.
Peter.
Yeah. Oh, Peter.
I love.
You know what was
Peter.
Weird though? Okay, you know, here's the worst thing that happened though.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing that happened.
What was the worst?
Was when they came back and they did like a very Brady Christmas and whatever, and then they made one of them paraplegic. Right. I mean, it was like they had to have pathos in the thing because they had like 2 hours to fill for a like made for TV movie. So they all of a sudden, you know, Bobby had to go headfirst through a car, and the next thing you know, he's in a wheelchair, and you're like, what are you doing to me? Why do you have to do that? What is the point of making him, is it the 80s or whatever they did? Mm-hmm. They're like, why would you, what's going on? And now we got to put a ramp in the sunken living room to get him in? It's terrible.
How about when Mike Brady went to court and that guy had the fake neck brace on and he threw his briefcase and he turned his head and he said, aha, you don't really have a problem with your neck? You remember how great Mike looked as the dad then?
Oh, he's just a genius.
Oh, that one was
that
crazy.
Mike Brady, yeah. I like when they went to Hawaii, though, and they had a tiki, and then Vincent Price tried to molest them in a cave or whatever happened.
I remember being scared by that one.
So you guys are all going to this house then, huh, when it opens
No,
up?
I'm feeling for Lance
so
Bass.
Happy.
Show outing. Ro, Anna, and Judy are, like, taking a selfie.
Let's go. Oh, this would be great. You guys will love it. I'll stay back.
I got a thing.
It brings back memories. I have the picture right on my phone. Don't think I didn't take a picture of it.
It's
when
the
I went
second
by
most
it.
Photographed home.
What's number one? The Full House?
Mm-hmm.
You're invited to a back to school party, by the way, to meet the goodbye girl, Judy Pilak, at the Goodwill Store and Donation Center in Glendale Heights this Saturday, August 11th from noon to 2.
Maybe
you could discuss that. That. They probably have Brady Bunch kind of stuff.
Sure.
At
that. From that era?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, if they do, I'm going to snap it all up. But I am going to try to just like
Jan. I got you snapping all up right here. All right, let's find out. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, animation being allowed at the Chicago police officer Van Dyke trial.
All right.
Yep.
All right. No comment. Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, entertainment, August 24th through the 26th. Learn more, visit ctfoodbowl.com/night market.
All right, my friends. We got tomorrow on the program, Lester Holt is going to be here, and we're going to have to ask him about his interview that he did.
What an
with
interview.
Seth Meyer on what is he thinking? What is he thinking?
He said he wants to. His dream is to be in a wedding band.
And he was also a DJ.
And he was a DJ in the past.
We're gonna have him. We'll have him talk up the post.
Yeah.
I'm trying to. He'll have to choose a song and he'll have to talk it up.
I wonder if we could play some of his music too. I'd like to hear it.
You want to hear a Bon Jovi cover done by him?
I don't know. I want to hear what his music's all about. I think he's jazz, isn't he? Find out.
Or how about cool? Everybody celebrate good times. Come on.
You'd have to learn that one if you're going to do the wedding.
Every
thing.
Wedding. Never not been to one.